Accession number 32070, Reel 2.
Arthur Bowler, Reel 2. So, and I, because I meant to ask you before, when you said right at the beginning you went into the Navy because you didn't want to go into the Army.
Yeah.
Why was that? Why didn't you want to go into the Army?
I don't really know, to be honest. Well, I did fancy the Navy. I probably would have, if you was called up, you had to go wherever they put you. But I thought, well, I'll get in first and join the Navy, and that's what I did. And I say, I had quite a few friends, and they all joined the Navy as well.
Okay, so to go back to Gibraltar, so what happened? You said at the end you heard you were to go on the Venomous.
Mm.
How did you hear about that? Can you remember?
Well, it comes through. You got an office there, and you get what they call the draft chit, and I drafted to HMS Venomous, and Laurie Cummin, we was in like Nissan's on the. We was on the Naval Air Station. Laurie came to pack the kit bag and hammock, and that was it.
And did you know anything about the Venomous?
No, didn't know nothing about it before then.
And can you remember that first time when you arrived?
Yeah, I think so. I think looked around and thought it's a bit primitive. It was, because it was built during World War One. I think it was 1916, I think, the actual day or not. I think it was 1916. And I say, on there, pretty primitive. You got an all crowded mess. There wasn't enough room for everybody to sling their hammocks. Some might sleep on the table when you had a bench to sleep on there. And then you had a galvanised bucket which you had a wash and a shower. Do your washing in it, adobe in it, as they said in the Navy. And it was, and then you were. Each week, we were on what they called canteen messing. One person at each mess was detailed, or you had to take it in turns, to get the food, make up a meal for the rest of the mess, and you took it to the galley and Gally cooked it. And I can remember it was my turn once, and I said to he used to have called him the killick of the mess. He wasn't actually a killick, was a leading seaman actually, but if you don't know. And this old boy, he was a three badger, what he calls, you got striped for 3 years, 7 years, and 14 years, and then nothing out there. But he'd been in the Navy all his life, and he was in charge of RMS. And I said, oh, I'm going to make a plum duff. Oh, he carried on, you'll waste the money, because we used to be canteen messing, you was allowed so much a day per person. And if you was in harbour for a bit, you'd spend most of the money. But when you was at sea, you didn't spend out so much. So at the end of the month, either you was in credit or you were in debt. But if you're in debt, you had to pay out. But if you was in credit, they paid you. So, but anyway, I cooked this. I made it up, you know. And come back, and you know what? It was the best. It was light. The best one you could ever think of. And anyway, this old boy came up. He said, "I'm sorry, mate." Well, he said that was the best one, but I never tried it again. I just went by what I remember my mum doing, you know. And I thought, well, I wouldn't get away with it again. So I never. I always remember that. It was really light, you know, because sometimes they're all puddingy, ain't they? Yeah.
And can you remember what other things might you eat? What was the food like otherwise, apart from your wonderful plum duff?
I can't really remember. I can remember going on a bit. We got bombed at Sicily, and we had to go in dock in Gibraltar, and they drained the dock, and there was all these fish laying. So we went down in the bottom of the dock, scooped these fish up, and then we had fish. That saved us money. I remember that.
So the way it would work, you would prepare them. So say with the fish, you would sort of gut them and clean them.
Yeah.
And then would you tell the galley how you wanted them cooked?
No, I don't think so. I think we just left it to them.
And so tell me about you, because you talked very quickly about washing as well. You said washing in a galvanised bucket.
Yeah.
Was that with salt water or?
Sometimes we had to have water when we was at sea, and so I can't really remember. I don't think so. I think we got away with fresh water, but sometimes when we was at sea a bit and then we'd get low on board, we had to use salt water.
It sounds quite tricky trying to keep clean and keep your clothes clean just with one bucket.
Yeah.
Was there a trick to that?
Well, you got to rub it. No scrubbing boards or that. You do it like that.
And you said about sleeping. You said because there wasn't enough room for all the hammocks, so some people slept on tables.
Yeah.
How would that work? How would you decide? Did everybody have to go to bed at the same time?
Say they'd had their billet, they do it and hang their hammock up, and when other people was on watch, they changed over and that, but some had to sleep on the mess table, and on the there was like one side was like a trestle thing, but the other side, say on the outside, was like boxes where you lifted up and you kept your things, some clothing or whatever. And there was like a big place where you all piled your kit bag in. When it got quite humid because the fresh couldn't go out in if you went to the open deck, they had canvas so the light wouldn't shine out, and so it got quite stuffy. But when you went out, come off watch to go into the mess, you could feel like a brick wall hitting you. The air was so thick, and good people were smoking and.
Did you get seasick at all?
I did when I first went. I think I got over it.
Were there any tricks to getting over it?
No, I think it just comes naturally, I think. And in the Mediterranean, it was, well, one of the worst rough seas I've seen. When we went to Sicily, doing the Sicily landings, it was really, really rough. Normally in the Mediterranean, it's like a mill pond. When we say the invasion of Sicily, it was, well, we come from Alex. Then I remember who's on watch, you know, up action stations all the time, and the sea was coming over and it was drained it. And
so let's go back to when you first arrived at the Venomous. So we talked a bit about what life was like on board.
Mm.
Can you just describe? Can you walk me through the ship? Can you describe her for me? Just give, because obviously I've never seen a picture, so I've never seen the ship.
Well,
I've seen a picture.
I never went down below in the engine room or what have you, but say the thing like that, and the mess is up here, and you just walk through, and you've got like, well, the mess is like there, there's a mess there, and there was a mess across there. There were three messes in there, and that was about all there was in there.
And what was it like on deck? Where were the guns, and what would I see if I was standing on deck?
Well, you see out to sea.
Yeah. On the boat. And the sea.
Yeah. You on the Venomous. Now, my normal stations when we were at the sea, you just when no enemy about or whatever, was on the port Orlikon. It's an Orlikon, and you used to come out and you got the step ladder and there like a little bay there, and this Orlikon gun there, and was on there, and there was two of you. One was on the lookout and the other was standby to fire the gun.
And were there any tricks to were there any sort of particular characteristics of the Erlikon that you can remember? What was it like to fire?
Sorry,
were there any were there any particular characteristics of the Erlikon? Was there anything, what do you remember about using
the bullets were in like a can thing, and they're quite awkward to, once they reload, take them off and reload, and they was quite heavy, you know, full of bullets. That was about all, really.
And so in terms of fortifications on the Venomous, so you had, there was you on the port side, can you remember where the other guns were and what the guns were?
The one on the starboard side as well, and then there was some on the quarter deck as well, and there was a 4.7 gun there, 4.7 I think it was, on the forecastle. Well, there's a photograph I've got.
We'll have to have a look.
the Venomous, and then the other ones I have. And that was about it.
And can you remember about the captain and the crew? Can you describe some of the personalities for me?
Well, they was all just mate. The crew, I mean, we didn't have anything to do with the officers. Not only when they told us what to do.
Were there any particular characters?
Yes. there was one we used to call Mad Jack. He was a lieutenant. And when we were just on normal, like, convoy duty and what have you, but when we was on the invasion of Sicily. I was on the 4.7, and this officer, Mad Jack, we used to call him, and he used to say, if I blows my whistle, dive on the deck. Well, I don't know if you want me to tell you about what really happened. Well, we was going the invasion of Sicily, and as we going in at night time, there was all these planes going in, and they with the gliders on the back, and that was dark, but some ships was firing at them, and they were dropping the right reconnaissance signals, and then I see up in the sky a plane on fire, and there were two parachutes came out, and anyway, one, we come along by one, and we hauled him in, and as we stopped to haul him in, and now Mad Jack, he would have blew his whistle, but he dived on the floor first, and he blew his whistle then, and we all, but as we, because what happened, as we stopped, this plane come then and struck a, dropped a load of bombs. I felt the blast on my face. I mean, that's why I'm deaf in this ear. And it blew me over. But on top of Mad Jack. But after that, we pulled this airman in, and he was an Italian. And the other one, he was calling out for help, but we left him there because this plane dived on us. So we left him there. And probably, I don't know what happened to him. Mm. Wasn't worried, to be honest.
So so maybe it's easiest if we go... so tell me what happened. Let's do it chronologically. So you arrived at the Venomous, and what happened next?
We used to go take... convoys out into the Atlantic, and then we used to go so far, and then we'd go back to Gibraltar, and then we used to go take convoys into North Africa, Algiers, Oran, and places like that, and then we did go to Malta once, but it was pretty, not too bad, you know.
And when you were on convoy duty, was there sort of a set formation for how the ships would be escorted?
Well, you'd get the convoy, and then we used to be on the outside, and then
And how many of you might there be escorting it?
Well, it all depend on the size of the convoy. Four destroyers, I suppose. All depending on the, how big the convoy was.
And what would you? Can you sort of describe a typical day when you're on convoy duty? What would your? How would your day turn out?
I used to you'd go about the ship doing on board ship, but then you'd be detailed. Well, you'd have to do your watch on your gun, you know. That's what, when I was on the Oerlikon then, but on when it was action stations, I was on this 4.7 thing, but on normal watch, I was on the Oerlikon. And then off duty, you just clean the mess up and things like that, you know.
And were there ever any incidents on any of the convoys? Can you remember anything out of the ordinary?
Not really, but one or two, we used to get called to action stations, cause, and then we'd drop in depth charges and things like that. Nothing really.
Can you? Did you? So, did you ever chase a submarine?
Yeah.
Can you? What was that like? What can you remember about that?
Well, it's a dropping depth charges, we suddenly left the convoy and went and then dropped charges, and I don't think we hit anybody.
And would you have, were you involved in dropping the depth charges?
No, because I was in the gunnery section.
And were there any, when you were watching out for U-boats, were there anything, because presumably you must have been on the lookout a lot, what sort of things would you be looking out for?
Well, you might see a periscope for a U-boat, or when it's on watch, you're looking out for aircraft as well.
And so you said you did several different convoys to different places.
Yeah.
What were those? Were any of those routes more or less dangerous than the others?
No, it was more or less all the same. Well, I didn't think any more. It was just a routine. You got used to. It was like a way of life.
Can you remember, did you like or dislike any of the ports in particular? Did you get, I mean, I don't know if you got much time there.
In North Africa and Algiers, and that, you used to go around the markets and that, you know, and look around and go for a drink. That was it.
And so you did several of the convoys. I should ask, because I suppose there were different temperatures. So did you have, would you have sort of different clothing to handle different?
You were issued with a duffel coat and on the ship. But on your normal kit, they give you a old skin thing, but they give you duffel coats on the ship, but out in the Mediterranean you didn't need them.
Did people sort of keep their standards of, because you said at the beginning, you know, the Navy rules, you keep your kit very clean. Did people keep those standards up?
Most of, you know, you got one or two dropouts or ugly or something. On the whole, you had to, even at sea, you had to fall in for in the mornings, and you had to be properly dressed. Although at sea, you didn't wear your uniform, you wore overalls mostly, you know, to do things about the ship.
And what time, so on your convoy days, what sort of, you said make and mend in the afternoon, what sort of things would you be making and mending? What were the standard
kind of? Well, that was just a make and mend, that was like to, if you, any sewing, you know, or cleaning, well, you do your dobing and things like that, you know. Yeah.
And were there any sort of standard jobs around the ship that, you know, sort of cleaning or anything like that that might?
Well, you got each mess was in charge of their own cleaning, and every Saturday morning, they came round inspecting the mess deck and everything to see that it was up to standard. So you got to be, and they'd soon jump on you if it was nothing.
So you had your standard convoys, and what sort of came next?
Well, say that we nothing really. I mean, we went up to Alexander, and then we come back to do the invasion of Sicily.
Was there much? Did people know what was going on? Did people?
Not until the last moment. We didn't know.
So tell me about that. Tell me about waiting in Alex. What was that like?
Was it just the usual run ashore and in the thing, and always used little kids used to come round, clean your shoes, Johnny, and you said no, they put some on your shoes and it make them all go dull. Yeah.
And did they try to sell you things? Did people buy souvenirs?
Yeah, I didn't, but there wasn't really much to buy, I don't think.
And so how long did you wait in Alex for?
It was about a week, I think, when all the things were piling up, all the ships and that. And so as we went to Sicily, let's say the sea was terrible. Stormy, you know, nothing like it. And I was on my action station was on that 4-7, and that's the water was coming over. I remember being huddled up wet and that, and saying, as we the day of the landing, they was firing at their own glider plane. Things and that, and then that happened. And then when these four sticker bombs come along the thing, it shook the rivets loose in the ship, and we went to sea a couple of three times. And then the captain said that he wouldn't take responsibility of the ship's company any longer because we was having to pump out water was coming through the rivets, where the rivets were shaking. They had to pump out the water to keep us afloat. So that's when we went into Gibraltar, and they'd done something there. And then not long after that, we came home, and well, we went to Londonderry, and then we come down the Irish Sea, and that was blimmin' rough. I was due to go on watch, the middle watch, 12 o'clock. I got with two hands on the ladder going up, and a wave come over, and it was good job I had my hand, but also I'd been swept over, and I was drowned. And I stopped there 4 hours, like that. So, and then we paid off in Falmouth, and I was given a month's leave